Often thought about all the birds around, you know. Some people live like chickens, you know, can't get off the ground, flap their wings and go nowhere. You got the crows, you know. Then there are the eagles. Thanks, I like that song. Wife one day was making breakfast for her husband, and she was frying him some eggs, and suddenly he burst into the kitchen. He says, "Careful, be careful. Put in more butter, you're going to burn them. Oh no, you're cooking too many at a time this time. You got to salt the eggs. You got to put pepper on the eggs." He said, "Careful." He said, "You're going to burn them." He said, "You're going to burn them. You never listen to me about anything about cooking." She looked at him and she said, "What in the world is wrong with you? You don't think I know how to fry eggs?" Husband calmly replied, "I just want to show you what it's like when I'm driving." Okay, now we can do the message. We live in a world that is changing. It's changing every day. Every time that we turn around, it almost seems like something's happening. Took my computer in. I bought a computer back in February, a new computer, and I couldn't get it to connect to the internet. So I bought it at Best Buy, and I never buy a warranty on anything, but I bought the year's Geek Squad warranty, and so I take it into the geeks. And this guy, you know, he says, "Well, you got a problem." I knew I was in the right place. And so anyway, he couldn't get it to connect, you know, and anything. So, you know, they had it about 4 days. I pick it up, and they've upgraded it to Windows 10. I don't even know what Windows 8.1 was. And so, you know, another change has taken place. And we need to recognize that things do change. Greg and I were talking this week, and we're talking about a couple books. And one of the books, Greg mentioned a book called Who Stole My Cheese? I don't know if you've ever heard of the book. Farmers embraced this book years ago about how the corporate world was going to change. And I think all that they were trying to do is saying, we may not change as much as we're going to change you. And that's kind of what, you know, it's about, you know, two mice and two men running through a maze and somebody moves their cheese. There was a parody written about that, and I lost the book, but it was entitled Who Stole My Cheese? And then another book that I had heard of, it was called Fish, just a simple fish title. And that's about a fish market in Seattle called Pike Place Fish Market. And it's a pretty cool place. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but I was out in Seattle on a business trip. And so I walked, we were staying downtown at the Red Lion Hotel, so I just walked down there one afternoon, skipped a couple meetings, and walked down there to just check this place out, because I had picked up the book and I had read it. And there was like four things in the book that they talked about. But the whole premise of the book was business was dying, and the manager, the owner, calls in his employees and says, "What's wrong here?" And they said, "You are." And so what they did is, you know, they put together this series of plans and things that they implemented. And you walk down the wharf now and you see fish stores doing nothing. But you go down to Pike's Place Fish Market and you see people with garbage bags over, you know, their shoulders and people throwing fish and them catching fish. And when I was there, they had this dogfish. Anybody ever seen a dogfish? That's about the most hideous-looking fish you could ever imagine. They had it tied to a rope under the ice, and some little boy walks up there, and they let the rope loose. The fish drops down, and he jumps back. And, of course, you know, it scared him, but his parents are laughing because, you know, you finally see the rope on there. But that's what, you know, that's the kind of world we live in. A world that changes. In 35 years with farmers, it seems like we were constantly changing things. Or they were constantly changing things. I was satisfied with the way they were. But in that time, you know, you had to either embrace change or change went on without you. I mean, that's pretty much the way it is, because things are going to change. Cindy and I moved from the St. Louis area to Tulsa, to St. Louis, back to St. Louis, to California, to Columbus in the matter of about 7 years. And we were constantly, you know, embracing change. It was fun seeing new employees, meeting new people, looking at a new job, looking for houses, selling houses, no equity, and going and buying another house. But that was part of what change was. And we can be uncertain about it. What we're afraid of a lot of times with change is letting go of what we're used to, letting go of that which we're comfortable. But if we realize as we let go of something, we can grab onto something new and embrace what's changing in our world. One of the things, and you know, we get too wrapped up sometimes in tradition, and too wrapped up in well, this is the way that, you know, that things have always been, no matter where it's at. Not necessarily in church, but it could be in work. It could be in, you know, in anything. I was trying to find a picture of the bumper sticker that said, here's your change after the 2008 election. I think it was 2008. And I couldn't find one. My brother got some of that change, because he voted for the individual that's whose bumper, you know, whose whole philosophy was, we need change. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus had a choice to make. I really believe he probably could have taken another course. But I believe that his mission was for us. And this, you know, and what's our vision of God? Every day we get up and we choose an attitude. We choose what kind of day we're going to have. We're going to hopefully choose we're going to have a good day. And what we're doing, and when we do that, is we look at some type of expectation. If yesterday was a bad day, then we hope today's a better day. I hope next week's a better week than what, you know, than what this week was, because I want to get better. I want things to get better. In these days, I think we need a fresh vision of really who God is and what God's plan and perspective for us is. Paul talks about in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and we see that Paul has that exact kind of vision. But if we go back before Paul and we look at the person that walked on the earth, at the, you know, before Paul was Jesus, and probably the greatest agent of change history has ever known was Jesus Christ. He changed the world back then, and he's changing the world today, because he's changing us and he's changing people. I read this week that some experts define leadership as the ability to affect positive change. If that is true, then Jesus Christ was the greatest agent of change and the greatest leader that ever lived. What he tried to do is he tried to make some changes, and the Pharisees resisted the style that he wanted to change. The Sadducees rejected social changes that he wanted to make. Scribes resisted theological changes. Kings resisted political change. Merchants resisted economic change because they wanted to sell animals in a temple. Remember that? And that didn't last long. The occult back then resisted spiritual change. So there was resistance to change back there, just as there probably is today. But there are four words that Jesus uses, and he talks about in the scripture about a doctor, a bridegroom, a garment, and a wineskin. And we're all probably familiar with the wineskin, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on. But what Jesus was trying to do was change legalism to love. Get people out of tradition. Get people out of doing things a certain way and learn to love one another and to treat one another with love and respect. He was trying to change self-righteousness, the self-righteous Pharisees, the self-righteous Sadducees, and all religious leaders of that day wanted it done their way. But what Jesus was trying to do is change it to true righteousness and make that change, and that was tough for people. What he wanted to do was go from some type of religious tradition to people living a life in the Spirit. And get people to go from wanting to be served all the time, as the religious leaders did, to serving. And there was no greater servant than Jesus Christ. So there's six things that I think that we can see when we talk about change. And I think it's important that we take a look at those. The first one is change is helpful. It's necessary for the greatest good. Sometimes when needs change, it's changed to benefit others. Sometimes when needs change, it's done to benefit us. But we need to keep in mind that changes are for the greater good. And when we get to the place and we get in our mind that all change is bad, or conversely, all change is good, then we're wrong. Because there are not times when change is always good. But there are times when change is not always bad. And I struggled with how to title this message, whether to call it change is good or change is not really bad. Because I wasn't sure whether we would go with a double negative or not. But change is helpful. Change is also seasonal. And if we look at Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 15, you're familiar with it. He said, there's a season for everything and a time for everything. A time for giving birth, a time for dying. He goes on through and talks about several different things through verse 9 about what's changed. But in verse 9, but what he says there is, what do workers gain from all their work? I have observed the task that God has given human beings. God has made everything fitting in its time, but has also placed eternity in their hearts without enabling them to discover what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there's nothing better for them but to enjoy themselves and to do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. I know that whatever God does will last forever. It's impossible to add or to take away from it. God has done this so that people are reverent before Him. Whatever happens has already happened. And whatever will happen has already happened before. And God looks after whatever is driven away. What I think he's telling us there is a season for change, and change is necessary. What we need to do and what people need to do is to get in the flow of the season. Now, if you see me in here on Monday through Saturday, you'll see me in a pair of shorts and probably a Harley Davidson t-shirt and a pair of flip-flops. Roger told me I could come that away any Sunday, but I haven't. No, I didn't. But I haven't got. He told me I could dress like him. Not today. But you won't see me doing that in December, because I'm going to change with the season. I can guarantee you will see Cindy with flip-flops in December, but you will not see me. So change is helpful. Change is seasonal. But here's a tough one. Change is emotional. Oftentimes, positive change brings about negative emotions in people. It takes time to process those changes, and it becomes a challenge as we begin to think about what happens. God's purpose for us is to remain faithful. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And I've talked with people. I talk with different pastors. I talk with different people, and they say the church is in decline, and the church attendance is down from what it has been. And it's obvious that something needs to be done in the church in general to increase that. I believe a lot of it is building relationships with people and touching people's lives and impacting people one-on-one. Because believe me, I have invited a lot of people to church. And believe me, a lot of people haven't come. So what is that? How do we make that change? What do we do? God wants every child, I think, to know the extent of His love, not only in theory, but in reality. What does that do? How has that changed my life? What can I grasp about that? What can I understand about that that I can share with people? Changing an individual's life from sin to salvation is an emotional change, because there is some emotion involved with it. Change is helpful, it's seasonal, it's emotional, but it's also controversial. If you look back in Matthew and read this when you go home, if you look back at the wineskins that Jesus talked about, was change necessary? Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Now, I'm sure there would have been people there that would have been satisfied with putting new wine in old wineskins. But what happens with the old ones is they've dried out. And when you put new wine in there, it expands and it bursts the dried out wineskins. They'd have been a lot unhappier probably if the wine would have been on the ground. But some people are that set in change is bad, that they don't want to see anything happen. They don't want to see anything new. But in order to preserve the wine, you put it in new wineskins. So change is helpful, it's seasonal, it's emotional, it's controversial, but it's also inevitable. Resisting change will not keep it from happening. Everything in life happens. Windows 8.1 goes to Windows 10. And I'm struggling sometimes with 7. Wasn't that the old one? So, I mean, when you look, you know, we look at that and we either embrace it or we don't. I can't figure out things on the computer that I could figure out before I got it upgraded. But it's inevitable because they did it. I didn't know they were going to do it. He said, did you ask them to do it? And I said, no. Didn't make any difference. They did it. Resisting change will not keep things from happening, as I said. You can't keep wine, you can't keep a wineskin from shrinking, and you can't keep new wine from expanding. That's just part of the way it is. That's the part of nature, that's part of what happened. It will happen. Some things must be total, you know, and some things, you know, I mean, we value a lot of things, and a lot of things are important. But some of the things that sometimes we think are real important aren't that big a deal in the big scheme of everything. So you see, it's helpful, seasonal, it's emotional, it's controversial, it's inevitable, but it's also personal. When we go to make that change, what I mean by that when I say personal is we have to make up our minds. Am I going to embrace it? Am I going to make it part of me? The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want the wine or do we want the wineskin? And that's really what it boils down to. Choices are resist, resent, reject, or receive and rejoice. We catch a vision, I think, of what God is able to do in the future because it says He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. The world's changing. We see economic changes all around us. We see countries, well, we see one that we live in, borrowing money at a greater rate than we can repay it. We see economic changes. Having less, fewer people is impacting what a church can do for the move of Christianity. We see political changes. We've seen ISIS come up in the Middle East. It's a political change that we didn't know 5 years ago. 10 years ago, we weren't concerned about socialism in America, but now we are. 10 years ago, we weren't concerned about eroding freedoms, but we are now. Political changes do take place. Communication changes, mobile phones, internet, Twitter, Facebook, Skype, all of those things are there for us if we want them. Change at work. As I mentioned, when I was working at Farmers, there was change after change after change. They even changed the email address. Now they changed it back. I don't advocate change just for change, but sometimes it's necessary. We've seen change in the moral collapse. From the sexual revolution in the 1960s to the divorce rate of what it is. The addictions to heroin, cocaine. The devastation that that can bring on to a family and to an individual is just unbelievable. And I think we as a church need to get involved in some of those things. Each of these changes is really more than just an impact on the church. It's an impact on society. As Christians, I think we can apply what it says in Ephesians 3:17 that we need to be rooted and established in love. Because Paul is using a couple things there that when he says that, he's saying we need to be rooted. I think he's saying we need to be a plant. We need to be deep in the ground in our own personal values to be able to embrace change. Palm trees undergo a huge amount of wind, but they never seem to blow over. They just seem to bend. We need to allow those spiritual roots to go down deep into God's love and into what God's trying to say to us. Psalms 46, 1 through 7 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God's plan is not just for the church or just for you to survive. It's for us to survive in a changing world. It's for us to survive in changing times. God's plan for the church is to thrive. God's plan for His individuals and His church members is to thrive, because that's what His church is. He wants us to be used in a new and an unexpected way, I think, to bring about a spiritual transformation to this community. So I encourage you, accept change. Embrace it. If you feel like you need to resist it and you see things coming up, let's talk about it. Let's not get to where we reject it until we talk about it. Because I think that as we live in this world, in order to reach this world, we have to change. God bless you.